Welcome to another calming and soothing episode of Nothing Specific with your boy Trevor David Houshin. There's a lot of beef going on in the world. Musical beef. And as a person who grew up in the era of a time when hip-hop was being born and having been raised essentially in the streets where hip-hop was born at the time when it was being born, I understand the competitive nature of it. I can't help but to understand the competitive nature of hip-hop. I understand it all too well. Battles. Who's got the best rhymes? This kind of stuff. But I don't know, guys. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if I can... I don't know if I can get behind the beef anymore. It just seems asinine. Right? It just seems like ridiculous. Like, you know, supposedly grown men, and I use that term loosely, man. Grown men. These rappers, you know, these rap cats, they love to say, I'm a grown-ass man. They love to say, I'm a grown-ass man. And I myself... I myself, as a grown-ass man, you know, I don't remember the last time I had an argument with another grown-ass man. That's it. That's my point. That's it. That's my point. That's my point in its entirety. I don't remember the last time I, as a grown-ass man, had a back and forth with another grown-ass man. Now, that's not to say that it's impossible to have a disagreement with another grown man. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, the amount of energy necessary to engage in a back and forth and back and forth and back and forth verbal battle with another grown man. Oh my God. I don't even want to argue with my wife. She's my wife. I'm supposed to argue with her. I don't even want to go back and forth with her. Like, you know, babe, you got it. You win. You got it, babe. You got it. Who's the winner here, babe? You. And my wife is so important to me. She's important, right? Like, so therefore... Therefore, you know... I should be okay to argue with my wife, right? She's important. But some dude who's not important, like, I'm gonna argue back and forth, try to, you know, stake my claim to, you know, universal righteousness with some other, like, bonehead. Get out of here. get out of here, man? Who's got energy to do that? So these rat beefs between these supposed grown-ass men, it's kind of cringy to me. It's cringy to me. I don't know. Who am I, though, right? Who am I? Who am I? But it's cringy. It's cringy. I don't know, man. I don't know. I remember when, you know, like when 50 Cent and Ja Rule were beefing, and then 50 Cent and the Game, can't call the, well, the Game is no longer known as the Game. He's now just Game. So when 50 and Game were beefing, when Jay and Nas were beefing, when Pop and Big were beefing, although I know that there's a lot of indirect, I don't even know if it's a lot, I know that there's some indirect stuff that Big did at Pop. But, you know, Pac went at Big and the whole East Coast directly. And now both them dudes are dead. Keeping it above. Now both them dudes are dead. Point being, like, you know, I guess, you know, when them cats were beefing 50, you know, Jay, Nas, Pac, Big, I was 20 years younger. 25, 30? Pac and Big were going at it in the mid-90s, right? Is that right? Early 90s? Mid-90s? Mid-90s was 30 years ago, folks. That's ridiculous. Now that is ridiculous. It doesn't seem like hip-hop should even be that old. Pac and Big were going at it in the 90s. This was 30 years ago, yo. 3 decades ago. Are we like in a time machine right now?
Are we in a time machine right now?
Are we in a time machine? Are we in a time machine? 30 years ago, man. Pop vs. Big. But even then, I wasn't that invested in the beef. I just wanted to hear the music from these two dudes. The beef just seems goofy, man. The beef just seems goofy. Beef, period, seems goofy to me. Regardless of who you have it with. Kind of. I swear to God. Think about who you got beef with right now. Just think about it. Think about who you got beef with right now. Think about how truly, truly relevant to your life the beef that you have with whomever actually is. Like, think about, like, if you got beef with your friend over what could you possibly have beef with your friend about that actually matters? This is what I'm asking you. What could you possibly have beef with your friend about that actually matters, like, you know, is relevant? What? And of course, that begs the question, what matters, Trevor? What does matter, Trevor? What matters? This is what's important in life, right? At the end of the day, what matters? What does matter? So you tell me. What matters? Does it matter? Like, for example, if you have beef with your friend about him or her being late all the time,
it's
Sure.
Or if you have beef with your friend about, I don't know, you know, they don't call you often enough. These are beefs that I have had in the past. Because I'm not a dude that really likes, like some people, you know, I've heard it said that men, guys, you know, men who are good friends, they can go years and years without talking. And then, you know, like 10 years and then pick up 10 years later where they left off 10 years before. I'm not that dude. My feeling is, if we're friends, some investment's got to be made in order to maintain the friendship. Every now and again, some investment's got to be made to maintain the friendship. If the friendship is important to you, that's my feeling. Now, of course, life gets in the way. Life things. I don't know, marriage, work, you might move, you know, you might get your leg blown off in an accidental mine accident, anything, something can happen to cause you to, you know, put distance between you and your friends, whatever. But in lieu of having a horrible mining accident, or, you know, a terrible, a disease, a life-threatening disease, you know, somehow you contract amnesia. That's not life-threatening, but it's relationship-threatening. You contract amnesia for 5 or 10 years and forget all of your friends, your friendships. I've done that. When I moved to Japan the first time and lived in Japan for those 10 years, when I moved back to the States, I had people coming out of the woodwork saying that I'd had, let's talk about women particularly, I had women coming out of the woodwork in California when I moved back to LA saying that I had had relationships with them. Not only did I not remember the relationship, I didn't even remember the person. I think it's very possible to contract amnesia that isn't permanent biological or degenerative. You know, like, for example, like Alzheimer's or dementia. I think it's very, very possible to contract, you know, temporary amnesia based on going through traumatic, semi-traumatic time periods. And if you forget friendships as a result of going through these time periods, I think that's forgivable. But if you got friends that you can, you know, you consider these friends to be your close friends, but you never ever call them, contact them, then to me, kind of that, I mean, It's exactly like, in my opinion, it's exactly like if you're a man or a woman and there is a man or another, you know, a member of, it doesn't have to be the opposite sex, somebody who is interested in you romantically. Now, if you want to see this person, if you're interested in this person, you're going to reach out to them. It's a simple thing. The people that you're interested in, it's a simple thing. The people that you're interested in, you contact them. You want to see them, you holler at them, you want to make connections and stay in touch. You want to make connections and stay in touch. But the people that you don't care about, you don't care about them. So you never try to contact them. It's simple. Right? Come on, man. So the friends that you... Two categories. The friends that you have forgotten that you have as a result of amnesia, trauma, time. Those friends that you've forgotten that you have, that you don't contact. That's one thing. It's forgivable. But the other friends that you haven't forgotten about, that your mind ruminates upon every now and again. These friends that you just don't contact, it's because they're not really that good friends of yours. And you don't care that much about them. Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, yo. If you cared much about the people that you think about, then you would contact them. Then you would contact them. It's simple. It really is. You hear it all the time. You know, if he wanted to see you, he would contact you. If she wanted to hang out with you, she would contact you. She would let you know, yo, I want to see you. Why is it different with friends? Please. Why is it different with friends? Why is because of the word friend. That's why it's different. The word friend, you know, implies a certain amount of, oh, well, he's my friend. I don't have to do anything about our friendship. I don't have to do anything about our friendship because he's my friend. I don't buy that. In fact, I feel exactly the opposite. I feel that, you know, if you're friends, that definition, the fact that you guys are friends, behooves you to do something for that friendship, to do something to sustain that friendship. That's a no-brain as far as I'm concerned. It's a no-brain as far as I'm concerned. If I've got a friend, you know, I you know, I consider him to be a close friend, or he considers me to be a close friend, then for me it's, you know, you should do something to maintain the friendship. It's simple to me. It's not rocket science as far as I'm concerned. That's just how I feel about it. I don't know. But I know a lot of people who, oh, you know, this guy's, I've been friends with this person for so long. He's my best friend. But, you know, I haven't talked to him for 30 years. You know, why not? Busy. Busy for 30 years? Busy for 30 years? Are you joking? Like, you've been busy for 30 years? Like, what are you talking about? This person is your friend and you haven't reached out to the person for 30 years? Like, come on, man. Come on, man. Come on. Can't get behind that. Yeah, but I started talking about the beef thing. You know, there was a major beef, Kendrick and Drake, recently. My opinion, Kendrick won the beef. There's no, you know, I'm a bigger, if I had to say, I'm a bigger Drake fan than I am a Kendrick fan. If I had to say I'm a fan of one or the other more than one or the other, I would absolutely have to say I'm a bigger Drake fan than Kendrick fan. I can't name a whole heck of a lot of Kendrick songs. Just not a big fan. But Kendrick won the beef. Kendrick won the beef at the least. Kendrick won the beef. I am not saying, and this is the thing, I am not saying Kendrick is a better artist, a better rapper, or any of that. Saying what I said, man. Kendrick won the beef. Kendrick won the beef. I kind of want a girlfriend. Yes. Okay, yes, 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 yes. I'm married. Yes, he's married. Yes. Yes, I'm married. I am married. I'm married. And I kind of want a girlfriend. What? Does that make me like, what does that make me? Does it make me like, some kind of, you know, horrible person or something? Does it make me, you know, amoral in a way? I'm married and I kind of want a girlfriend. Why? Let's talk about why. Let's talk about why. I want somebody to feel romantic with. I want somebody who thinks I'm attractive and tells me, you know, tells me, you know, excuse me. Excuse me for wanting to, you know, feel attractive to someone. I want somebody to tell me that they think I'm attractive in some way. Some way. I want to feel giggly and bubbly with somebody. Giggly and bubbly is so underrated. Giggly and bubbly. Oh my god. So underrated. These two things. The feeling of giggly bubbliness. Oh my god. When's the last time you felt either giggly or bubbly? When's the last time you felt giggly or bubbly? You know, like that feeling, like that, you know, that like your feet aren't quite touching the ground. You know what I mean? It's a similar feeling to like the first time you smoke weed. First time you properly get high. Oh, what a thing. What a thing. What a thing. Ugh. That's the feeling I'm looking for. I can't speak for other people's relationships, but giggly bubbly, it does not, there's almost no place for giggly bubbly in marriage. Giggly bubbly. What about gubbly giggly? Gubbly bigly. Gubbly bigly now. Gubbly bigly. There's lots of that in marriages. Gubbly and bigly. There's no lack of gubbly bigly in marriage, but giggly bubbly, almost none. Zero. Almost none. When's the last time you felt giggly and bubbly with your marriage partner? I want that. have a soda with someone. Just go have a soda with someone. I did not say that I wanna, you know, I didn't say anything sexual. I didn't even say sexual. I didn't even say I wanted to have sex with anybody. I didn't say anything about touch. No touch. People might say emotional cheating. You know, if there's somebody out there that you're feeling giggly and bubbly with, you're emotionally cheating on your partner. I don't know if I can agree. I don't know if I can agree, man. I don't know if I can agree. I just don't know if I can agree. If I'm just out in the world seeking a little, just a little giggly, bubbly here and there, every now and again, does this make me a, you know, does this label me as some kind of like, you know, a womanizer or, you know, serial monogamist or a cheater? Because I'm looking for giggly bubbly. Does this make me a cheater? Who doesn't want a little giggly bubbly in their lives? Well, Trevor, how would you feel if you knew that your wife was out looking, actively looking for a little giggly bubbly on the side? How would that make you feel, Trevor? Mr. Interviewer, more power for her ass. I hope my wife finds as much giggly bubbly as she can handle. I hope her buckets overflow with giggly bubbly. Why? She doesn't want my giggly bubbly. I'm constantly trying to give my wife exactly that, giggly bubbly. I danced today. When's the last time you danced in front of your partner? When's the last time you did that? Simple dance. When's the last time you just danced? I did that today. I danced in front of my wife. Try to give her a little giggly bubbly. Nothing. She pretended I was transparent. Which is worse than invisible. It's worse than invisible. Somebody treats you like you're transparent, it's worse than invisible. Because if you're invisible, there's the chance that they might be looking for you, trying to find you. I can't see you. Where are you? I can't see you. Where are you? They're at least looking for you. You're transparent. They're looking through you. You're there. They you know, you're there. But they're looking through you. They're looking through you. You're transparent. That's what my wife did today when I danced. Try to offer her a little giggly bubbly. This is why I want a girlfriend. This is why. A little giggly bubbly. I don't think it's asking too much. Everybody needs a little giggly bubbly. Everybody needs a little giggly bubbly. Everybody needs a little giggly. Everybody needs a little bubbly. Everybody needs a little giggly. Everybody needs a little bubbly. That's all I'm saying. That's all I've got to say, folks. Get yourself some giggly bubbly. Get yourself some giggly, and then after you've had some giggly, get yourself some bubbly. I'm Trevor David Houchin. This is Nothing Specific. Peace and blessings, guys.